your life today.
Barack Obama in Cairo to talk about brokering a peace deal between the Palestinians and the Israelis. That was the main thrust of what he had to say. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Coming up on this show, besides talking about Obama and the Middle East, we'll also talk about the latest in the Air France, easy for me to say, crash. Now they're saying it might be a speed problem, that the plane was flying too slowly and the debris in the water was not the debris from flight 447. Also, the Lakers slam the Magic in game one of the NBA Finals. If you're a sports fan, this might be a bore of a final series if the Magic don't muster up more of an offense. They blew him out by 25 points at the buzzer. I know, I was watching this. If you're a Lakers fan, you're loving it. It's showtime, big time, because the Lakers, of course, want to win that championship, and Kobe Bryant wants to do it without Shaquille O'Neal. So in sports shorts, we'll talk about that. But in the meantime, all eyes certainly were on Cairo and what happened with Barack Obama and his speech. What was interesting about the speech is they used some simplistic language. And the reason, part of the reason for that is because it was translated into so many other languages. They used a lot of social networking, Twitter, etc., for the speech. So this was one of the first times for that. As we know, social networking in general is big around the world. But also the fact that with all these internet cafes and stuff in various parts of the Middle East, this was a way that Obama could reach some of the people with what he had to say. Now, the reaction to the Cairo speech has been mixed. Some people think he really nailed it and they were pretty impressed. Other people are waiting to see ultimately, cautiously, what's going to happen, which would be more my approach. Hey, if there is officially some kind of brokered peace in the Middle East, of course, do you think I'm not going to think that's terrific? But having watched this from the sidelines now for how long have I been doing talk radio? Over a decade. And as a kid in social studies class, remembering, as I said before, how many times did we see the question mark peace in the Middle East? And how many times did we see Americans get kidnapped and other various things happen from a nefarious band of various terrorists? Because ultimately it comes down to that, stopping the terrorists. Right now, the word terrorists and all that that could conjure up was not mentioned in his speech at all, period. The word did not come up. The only little hint of terror was in torture, I guess, and talking about Gitmo and that's not tolerated in the United States and that sort of thing. But nothing as far as terrorists were concerned. More about attitudes over Islam and the United States as well. So Middle Eastern leaders, of course, were very anxious to hear what Obama was going to say in his address to the, let's face it, primarily Muslim world. So now, ultimately, what are the actions that happen next? That's the thing. Everybody knows Obama can speak, but what comes after the words? What happens? Like on the ground, what's going to happen? And what the Middle East expects is the withdrawal from Iraq and, of course, ending the war in Afghanistan. And the other thing would be closing Guantanamo, I'm sure. And one of the main things that, as I mentioned, that Obama talked about was the need to settle the dispute in this conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. And he specifically called for an end to Israeli settlement development in the West Bank. So you could say that it's up to Israel at this point. What ultimately are they going to do? In saying you have to end the development, well, that's saying that, you know, hello, Benjamin Netanyahu and folks, you got to pull out, you got to stop. And are they going to do that? The Israeli government released a statement hours after the speech highlighting Obama's insistence that Arab states recognize Israel's right to exist. That's what they pointed out. In fact, I'll give you one little quote from the press release. We share Obama's hope that the American effort heralds the beginning of a new era that will bring about an end to the conflict and lead to Arab recognition of Israel as the homeland of the Jewish people living in peace and security in the Middle East. So here's the deal. Will Obama's words make any difference in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that has been going on for thousands of years? Thousands of years. You know, if you remember, and somebody pointed this out to me, Secretary of State Condi Rice gave a big address at the American University in Cairo criticizing Egypt's authoritarian government and, of course, pushing for democracy in the Middle East. And then 7 months later, what happened? Hamas, which is considered by the State Department to be a terrorist group, got power in Gaza through their election process. And is there a doubt, at least in the eyes of our government, that Hamas is a terrorist organization? Now, you talk to some people in the West Bank, and they may have a different opinion of that. Certainly, they reach the youth there, and there are a lot of young people in that area. So the speech got some decent reviews, and then others mixed, and others that, you know, thought, well, you know, here's another speech by Obama, but let's wait for the action. And I would say that, what's the action item? It's like when you go to a meeting, I don't care if you drive a bus, work in a school and you're a teacher, or you're going to school, whatever. How many times are you called for different meetings, whatever group? You might just be a parent, you have to go to a PTA meeting, but what's the action item? I'm always curious about that. People love to meet, or somebody loves to give a speech and talk, but then people walk away from that. And what is the action item? So what is the action here? Well, changing hatred, right? How do you change hatred, though? How do you change thousands of years? And I just keep coming back to that. Now, one thing that didn't happen in the speech, and I guess I wasn't surprised because there wasn't real controversy in this. He was trying to play it right down the middle, I thought. So one thing that didn't happen and I thought would come up was any call whatsoever, any mention of Iran stopping their nuclear program. The only thing that Obama said is that we've reached a decisive point on the question of nuclear weapons. But he defended the Islamic Republic's right to pursue a civilian nuclear energy program. Because remember, Iran always says that. And how do you repair these relations with the Muslim world? How does that happen? And I think that the nations in that area hate the United States because of military intervention and a few other things. So I don't know. Do you think in our lifetime we will truly see any sort of peace in the Middle East? That's the fair question. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Kate hanging with you here on ATM.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon coupon box, and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Springtime. Now that you've planted your organic garden, how will you keep the bugs away without using toxic chemicals and poisons? Well, the answer is all natural insecticides from freshwaterorganics.com. These revolutionary insecticides start with the same organic product that we use in FPP to kill parasites. We then add a small amount of pyrethrin from chrysanthemum flowers and a mild attractant to offer you the most effective insecticide available anywhere. It can even be applied up to the day of harvest. Our natural insecticides work in the home, on plants, and in your garden, killing pests mechanically, not with poisons. So pests can't develop an immunity, and they won't harm your children or pets. It's effective against white flies, moths, bedbugs, fleas, roaches, crickets, and more, and safe enough to use on your pets, ridding them of fleas and other pests. Order now from freshwaterorganics.com or call 888-949-3570, 888-949-3570 today.
Crossing the stage, I know you can feel the excitement. Shake it up.
We're talking about the real possibility of peace in the Beast. 800-259-5791. Coming up later, more on what happened with David Carradine. Also, we'll tell you about that Air France flight and the mystery still surrounding that as well. And cameras that could catch you speeding on the highways. How do you feel about that? Maybe a little too Big Brother-ish, I think. Plus, I'm picturing myself in Dallas, Texas, where it would be a ghost town because everybody would be off the highways. They will have gotten way too many tickets. Let's take our leadoff man, 800-259-5791, if you want to call in. That's Sam in Montreal. Hey, Sam.
Hello, hello, and hello.
Hey, you are a perfect person to ask this question to. We talk about Stephen all the time.
Right.
And for those who don't know, who haven't heard us go back and forth, he's got a terrific nephew who was a rabbinical student, now a rabbi in Israel. And he's a great, he would be a great guy to ask this question to. I have friends that live in Israel. And you know what I won't even sugarcoat it. I ask them what they think and they say, no way in hell. Meaning no way in hell are they going to coexist with a Palestinian state.
Let me be blunt, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever have children, your great great grandchildren will never see peace in the Middle East.
I agree.
I woke up early this morning to see it. Obama was trying to please everybody, but with all the respect to him, I think he was trying to talk to both sides, try to please both sides, and I don't think he really scored bounty points with anybody.
I think that there was no action out of it. Like I said, what's the action item you take out of it? And I think you're right.
Right.
What happened was I said he played it in the middle. It was very
right, both
the speech
sides,
was very much right.
Both sides against the middle.
That's right. And so you think of Hamas, you think of Israel dealing with the West Bank and their feelings of already giving up land and then being told that they should give up more land. And then you think of what happened between the two. How long ago was that? 6 months ago, whatever. And then you also think of Iran wasn't even mentioned in the speech, but I didn't think it would be.
And you know, the funny part is, if, you know, even if Netanyahu was to negotiate, you're going to have the left-wing Israelis who are going to say, you didn't give enough. You have the right-wing Israelis who are going to say, you gave up too much.
Right.
Now, unfortunately, did you ever hear of a Rabbi Meir Kahana?
Yes.
Okay, for those people who don't know, he was a real staunch, real right-winger. I mean, he said, this is, you know, this is our land. He would throw the Palestinians even out of the
West
Bank.
Very famous.
Right.
Yeah.
So then some reporter asked him, hey, if it means putting them in cattle cars and chipping them off like the Nazis did to the Jews in World War II, would you do it? And he said, if it comes to it, I would. And I'm thinking, you didn't score brownie points with me. And I'm just, because someone asked me my politics once, I am right of center. My attitude is, give them the Gaza Strip, which they have, and of course they've done squat with it, and give them some of the West Bank. I mean, some of the stuff that, you know, probably, you know, hasn't been developed yet. Let them try and develop it. But don't touch Golan Heights, and definitely do not touch Jerusalem.
Right.
Right, you know. So as I jokingly said once to Steve, I said, let's bring Monty Hall in on this. He went, who?
Because he's too young. He doesn't know.
Yeah, so I said, check the GameshowNetwork.com. He did, and now we know who Monty Hall is.
Right, exactly.
You know, and what is Obama trying to prove on this trip? Is it hi, I'm Barack Obama, like getting to know people, or is he saying, hey, I'm the president of the United States, this is what I want you people to do? What's he?
I think he's trying because the perception is, okay, everybody hates America there because of coming into Iraq and
right.
then of course now going into Afghanistan and the other rhetoric that's pumped out from Al Jazeera that Americans are causing the deaths of so many people in the Middle East through these various wars for one.
Yeah.
And I think it, and some people are saying this, and I think in a way he is almost acting as an apologist for what happened previous to his administration. But then again, that goes along with the same thing. He is not going to please all those people, and I don't think he can broker any kind of a peace deal.
No, I mean, I didn't have a chance to speak to Steve today, so I don't know what his reaction was to the speech. And, if I called him right now, he'd probably kill me because it's 7:30 in the morning there. And, no, he'd probably just be getting up, getting ready, getting ready to go to work. But I'll call him Sunday.
Call him Sunday.
And let him. Is your show on Sunday nights or is it a rerun?
It's on Sunday nights. Yeah.
Okay. So what I'll do is I'll call him Sunday, let him know how he reacted and how the Israeli press reacted, and then I will call you. And then of course I have to give him what's going on. I have to tell him about what's going on in the playoffs.
Right.
And of course with the new Montreal coach too. I mean, when I spoke to him earlier in the week, he went, who? I said, yeah. He said, I know he coached Ottawa. Where was he before? I said he was the GM of the Florida Panthers. Why would he take a pressure cooker like this? I go, why does anyone take a pressure cooker like managing the New York Yankees or coaching, let's say, coaching Notre Dame or Penn State, whatever. I mean, they do it because they enjoy it. I don't think they do it for the pressure.
And because of the prestige of the team, too.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
All right, get back to us on Sunday and tell Stephen we said hi and thanks for the call.
Okay, take care, gorgeous.
All right, so we're talking about reaction to the speech in the Middle East. Let's go to Don in Wyoming. Hey, Don.
Well, gee, how much I've got to say on this, you ought to hold me over to the next segment, too. Katie, it's interesting because there's a lot of issues. I don't think Americans really see what's going on over there. You made an interesting comment back there that everybody over there hates us right now because of Iraq. Well, that's kind of funny because back in 1990 when the United States went in and first, in the Gulf Desert Storm,
Mm-hmm.
I think pretty much all every country over there except Iran was on in our back, weren't they?
Right, but I mean, that's what happens. That's you know this. This happens. It flip-flops every depending on who's in power, depending on what's happened. It changes every single time.
And whether or not Saddam should have gone or not, and we know how many resolutions were passed by the Smurfs, you know, the UN, and then, you know, he just laughed at them, you know, and the fact that he was still getting money from oil, which he wasn't supposed to be thanks to the French and the Germans.
That's right.
You know. But, you know, the point is that the guy was still paying people to blow themselves up in Israel.
Right.
And, you know, the United States decided that, and George Bush decided that's it. This guy's got to go, you know. You can't just keep letting somebody have free pass. You must tell them not to. It's like telling your kid, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and they keep doing it, and then you just don't, you don't resolve the issue.
No, I agree. I agree. But you know this, Don. What happens is what's pumped out. What is the Taliban? What is Al-Qaeda? What do they pump out there that it's all America's fault? That your neighborhood was blown up because of the United States getting involved where they shouldn't have gotten involved. You know that. They play. That's exactly what is played up constantly. And that's the same thing with these Osama bin Laden things that get released, of course.
Well, there's three major things that the jihadists, i.e. the radicals, whatever you want to call them, have had against the United States. First of all, issues that they have over there. First of all is the fact that Israel exists. Okay.
Right.
And when you go back, biblically speaking, even before Abraham, the land belonged to Palestinians. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the Judeo-Christian beliefs, the land belongs to Israel. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then Israel occupies that land right now. Okay, but the fact is the land belonged to Palestinians. I mean, in whether you believe in the God of Israel or you believe in the God in Christ and the Christian God, okay, you know, they say that it belongs to that, whereas the God of Islam, you know, Allah, says that the land belongs to Palestinians, and there's where your biblical conflict is in the issue, okay? So that's been the number one thing. The second thing is, with the United States being the only country when Israel was formed back in 48, was the only country out of 190-something in the UN, or 160 at the time, that said, yes, we support them. Okay? We were the only country that recognized Israel as a state. Okay? Which is why I always call them the 51st state. But anyways.
Hey, hang on. I'm going to actually break. I'm going to break my rule just for you. I hope you appreciate this. And carry you over. Don't get any ideas out there that other people can do the same thing. But we're going to, because he's, even in snowstorms, the guy calls us, we are going to let Don hang on. 800-259-5791. Meet you on the flip side.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple, fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables, ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit acolablue.com. Acolablue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator, producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a 5-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing 5-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Acolablue 28 is shipped right to your home. ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Ecola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
This is Alex Jones for American Tax Settlement. We have received news that the IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements on back taxes, and millions of consumers may be eligible for this reduction to save thousands of dollars. If any of you out there owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, we have created an open phone line with American Tax Settlement. For all Alex Jones listeners to see if you qualify for a settlement with the IRS to save thousands, the number to call is 1-800-506-5904. Millions of taxpayers now may be eligible for this settlement to save thousands of dollars. Don't risk the IRS coming after you and garnishing your wages or seizing your property. American Tax Settlement specializes in negotiating with the IRS on your behalf, keeping the IRS off your back and saving consumers millions of dollars. If you owe $10,000 or more in taxes to the IRS, the number to call is 1-800-506-5904. That's 1-800-506-5904. Call today.
You already know that drinking pure high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline, to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. 269-216-9767 today.
All right, we're talking about Obama's speech in the Middle East, and if we'll actually, really, truly, and let's be true about this, be real about it, are we ever going to see peace in the Middle East? You know the number to jingle, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Back with Don. Don, you know, you were making the point about originally the land being the Palestinians, and then, of course, Israel gets the land. Now we're still arguing about the land and about Israeli settlements and moving some Israeli settlements. And, you know, we're talking about thousands of years of history. And this is what I always point to. And I don't think that we see peace in the Middle East in our lifetime.
No, am I with you, Kate?
You are.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear the thing click back. You know, and it was one thing people need to understand. There's some things going on in Israel that the average person does not know about. Okay, Kate, things that go on there. But just real quick to finish up my point about, you know, first of all, the Israelis being there, Islam wanting to destroy the Jews. Okay. I think, I'll be honest with you, going back to the history of Islam, the history of Judaism, okay, Muhammad, you know, when you follow the Quran and you follow the Torah, the story changes when you get to Abraham, whether Isaac got the blessing or whether Ishmael got the blessing, okay. I honestly believed that Muhammad just hijacked the story from the Torah and changed it to where it fit his people. Okay, and for some reason they've got this hatred toward, instead of living in peace with somebody and just, hey, you know, like in America here, hey, you believe what you already want to believe, you know, it's your, as Dustin Hoffman said in The Hero, it's your crap, you know, so, mm-hmm. But the point is, so that's their number one thing, you know, is the fact that the Israelis are there in the Arab land, okay, in Palestine. And then
right.
Two, the fact that the United States is the one backing them, and we even just had Sir Hillary say, hey, it doesn't matter what goes down, we're going to back the Israelis, okay? So that because of them being our friends or whatever, our protector, or if you want to call them the 51st state, you know, that paints a target on us, you know. Just like right now, you know, we're going to back Japan no matter what happens over in Asia, okay? And, you know, the Koreans and the Chinese can't stand that, you know. But that's
right.
How it's going to be. We're going to back Japan, you know, and the same thing, we're going to back the Israelis. And so
that's right.
That puts a target on the United States, okay? And so if they want to say, hey, you know, you guys, you know, but what really flipped the whole thing into overdrive was when George Bush, Papa Bush, put the American troops on Saudi soil, which they were invited by the king to be there for Desert Storm. And we've got 15 bases all over Saudi Arabia with American soldiers on it now. Okay,
that's
that
right.
Was to the point to where not only do we have Jews on our land now, but we have Americans on our land. You
that's
know,
right.
And that's what led to 9/11, okay? But back to, you know, let's get back real quick to the subject. You know, I like what Sam had to say. He's trying to play peace both ways, you know, and
right.
say, you know, and tell Muslims we don't. Well, you know what? We don't hate you. You can practice your religion, whichever you believe. But if your religion is going to teach you that you've got to kill everybody and force everybody to become your religion and use force to do it, then we're going to have to say, hey, no, we're not going to do that, and we're going to defend our people. And, you know, and you know, it's crazy, Kate, because it's like you say, this has been going on for, you know, and as far as we know, you know, if you believe in Armageddon and all that stuff, this is what's going to lead up to the end, you know. But I want to get
right.
real quick back to, I'm sorry, I want to get one last thing with you. I want to get back to the thing that goes on in Israel, okay? Palestinians there, okay, when they took the land, the Israelis said, hey, you know what? You know, Lebanon, Syria, you know, Saudi Arabia, hey, do you want to take these people? And they said, no, we don't want them, okay? So for all of the Arab world to sit back and back the Palestinians, okay, when they could, you know, when this issue could have been solved a long time ago, and to sit back and say, oh, we want to protect you and we want you to have your land, but we won't accept you, it would
right.
be like if all of a sudden somebody wanted to take over Hawaii and the United States said, okay, all right, we'll take all our Hawaiians, they can all come back to the continental 48 if we have to give up that land, you know,
right,
we
exactly.
would do it. But they didn't want to do that. But the thing that goes on in Israel right now, Kate, and I went there once quite a few years back, okay? And I talked to a lot of Palestinians that are from there, and of course they're ticked off that their land was taken away from them and et cetera. But the fact is, Kate, they are treated just like African Americans were treated 150 to 100 years ago, okay? They are not equal citizens in that country, okay?
No.
They
no,
have
no, I agree.
One of the biggest issues that goes on in Israel right now is water. And if Arnold Schwarzenegger thinks that California has a water shortage problem right now, you ain't seen nothing until you get to Israel, okay?
That's right, that's right.
Water shortage. For every Israeli, they get one, let's say, equal ration, okay, which is about the same amount of water that the average American uses, okay? But for a Palestinian, they get one-third of one ration. So what that's basically saying is, let's say you were Jewish and I was Palestinian and we had houses next door to each other, okay?
Right.
We're trying to live in peace, okay? You get to water your lawn, you get to take a bath every day, you get all the water that you need to have a nice life. Meanwhile,
right.
I get to take a bath every 3 days, which, of course, down in that area, talking about another one bites the dust, you know, Israel and dust somehow go together. But anyway, though, you know, I only get to take a bath once. I get to put rocks and dirt in my lawn, okay?
Right.
You know,
right.
I live a substandard life, you know. And, you know, we might as well just call these, one last thing, okay, we might as well just call the West Bank and Gaza Strip what they are, okay? They're reservations. That's what they are. And they did the exact same thing to the Palestinians that we did to the American Indians. We put them on a reservation, and we said, here, you know, at least we give them a paycheck, you know, and said, here,
right.
here's some land for you to live on. Stay away from the regular population, and here, you know, we'll take your land, and here's your reservation, okay? We did the same thing, okay? And I know, I've never, ever felt right about that. I think the Indian people should have been able to live right along with us. But for whatever
no, I agree.
Reason, they figured, you know, that you know, you've got to go live on this land, which most
yeah.
of the reservations, at least the ones out west here, are dust bowls, you know. But,
right,
but in
of
any
course.
Case, okay, but as for Obama, I did chalk one up for him today because I do.
Right, by going.
I do appreciate him trying to do what he's doing, you know?
Right,
to try to,
right.
To make, you know, everybody over there stand that, you know, we, this is not, you know, George Bush is going to, if you raise a lip at us, it's going to blow you off the map of the earth or something like that, you know? But I'm sorry when I listened to him say, you know, the one part of his speech when he sat back and said that, you know, and there is a lot of people in Islam that just live a regular, peaceful life, Kate, and then you have the extremists that are trying to blow us up.
Of course.
But we've got a country over there right now that's being run by extremist Iranians, you know, or extremist, extreme governor or government.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who's absolutely said they will wipe Israel off the face of the earth, you know, and you cannot sit back and say, oh well, you know, whatever, we've got control of everything, we don't need to worry about these guys. That's what they did in 1933, Kate, when Hitler came to party. Oh, this guy just
happened
to us, you know, we don't need to worry about it, and I hope we learned our lesson from them. Kate, I would just love to hear, hey, you know, one time turn on the radio for a whole year and never hear of any violence going on in the Middle East.
Yeah,
you
no
know?
Kidding.
But
no kidding. Excellent.
I don't know. So, Kate, you have a wonderful weekend.
You
too.
You can
check out that Hangover. It looks like a nutty movie. So
it does. It looks good. It looks good, my friend. Hey, thanks for calling, and well said. I think you definitely echoed a lot of what we have been talking about here in America Tonight, and you and I have talked about for years, and you made some excellent, excellent points, and the comparison of the American Indians being put on the reservation is exactly what has happened to the Palestinian people, and thus you have those hard feelings, and as Don said, very well said, people don't really understand the complexities of the Middle East. That's why I always refer to the thousands of years of hatred for different factions, because you have to realize what has happened to people and what's been handed down. He also gave you the great example that we've talked about before, how there is an equality when you look at rationing, for example, with water. You know, there was a great analogy. We can live next to each other, but how am I feeling when I live on the dustier side of the street and you've got green grass? And you have more water to bathe yourself with than I do or my family does. Of course, what kind of a relationship do you think you have there? So to pull that all together is an incredibly tall order. That even saying it's tall order isn't a great description of it. It's an impossibility, I think. But I agree, and that's exactly what I said. I give Obama credit for doing it so quickly into his term, not waiting to the tail end of the first 3 years or whatever, or waiting for a year and a half or however long, doing it right at the beginning, because realizing, I mean, as Don says, this could be Armageddon. I say it all the time. It is the Pandora's box of the world, and it is just waiting to be ripped wide open. Already we've seen some of the horrors that have come out of the Middle East from various conflicts, and it's not done yet with the United States and Iraq, certainly, now out of Iraq at the end of June, but not completely out. There's still bases that are going to be there. And then beefing it up in Afghanistan. And look what's happening with Pakistan. America's trying to help Pakistan, but with no boots on the ground. So there's no question that the heavy conflicts, and I think where you should be worried, what you should be worried about is what is happening in the Middle East. So high credit for going there, but ultimately will anything come out of it? And I'm going to say the answer to that, unfortunately, is no. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. A South Carolina governor has to eat it. We'll explain.
The phone rings and the questions are asked. I've been so sick. Will the Life Change Tea help me? Our answer is always the same. Yes, toxins and chemicals from food, water, and air are attacking you this very moment. Fight back with our all-natural detoxifying tea that works immediately. Many companies use gimmicks and misleading free trials for their campaign. We use results. Life Change Tea's formula, created by a PhD, has been around for over 20 years. There are things happening in the world that are unseen and not healthy. the public has reached its all-time record for chronic sickness. This atrocity won't change unless you call us right now. Our number is 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, we have the cheapest shipping in the industry.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2-sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious tasting chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
Well, it took a while. I was forced to associate with a whole lot of Kung Fu masters while I was doing the series, and it just kind of slipped its way in, as it has a tendency to do. When I left the series, I figured I would never do any of this stuff again. And then I was sitting on a beach in Malibu one day on a Saturday morning, and I suddenly got a desire to go take a Kung Fu class. And I knew that Cam Ewan, who was the master I'd put myself together with on the series, I knew he had a Saturday morning class, so I got in my Ferrari and went down to Torrance and took the class. And that was, what was it, 16 years ago? No, it's really a way of life. It's a system that tries to kind of improve the quality of a person's life.
That was the voice of David Carradine in an interview where he was talking about, obviously, Kung Fu. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. He also was in Kill Bill and a slew of other movies. He was in Thailand, actually in the middle of a movie called Stretch, and he was acting in that. And he was found dead in his hotel room. His neck and genitals found bound with rope. Initially, when everything came out, it was like, okay, this is suicide, suicide. Now things are starting to change. Carradine, 72 years old, became pretty famous in the 70s when he portrayed the little piece that you heard there, the Kung Fu master, if you remember. So he was found hanging by a nylon rope in that Bangkok hotel room closet Thursday morning. Somebody from the emergency crew called to the hotel after a maid found Carradine and gave a description of the condition that he was in. So then there was a story that broke later saying it was foul play, but investigators found no signs of a forced entry at all into his room, at least according to the Bangkok police. They were doing an autopsy, but they obviously don't have the results for that. Automatically, what you're thinking is autoerotica, though, right, Matt? Didn't you say you saw that reported somewhere that that's starting to be discussed?
Yeah, because apparently there was another rope or something tied down below, I guess, as they would say.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned, that that he had a rope around his genitals, his neck, and then another one. So if that's what that would lead you to believe,
yeah, so
certainly.
It seems like it's accidental, and you know, he didn't try to actually take his life.
Yeah,
which makes more sense.
Right, it makes more sense. It's there was another actor who that happened to. Who was the actor? Pretty famous actor. I can't think of who it is. That was found similar, and then there was questions about what could have happened there. But obviously, like I said, he was in Kill Bill Volumes 1 and 2. He was in a ton of other movies. He was married 5 times, divorced 4 times. He was the son of John Carradine, a character actor who appeared in hundreds and hundreds of films himself. But he was a guy who was pretty well liked in Hollywood, so that's unfortunate. Looking like it was pretty much accidental. Now, his manager is saying that he suspects foul play in the death of David Carradine, despite the position that he was found in, saying that there's something more to this. And so he was right away disputing the whole suicide theory. Whichever way this goes with the autopsy, etc., I don't think that's what you're going to see come out of this. And right away, as soon as this happened, Carradine's wife came out and threw another actor, Michael Madsen, came out and said that he's not suicidal and immediately wanted people to know that, that this wouldn't have been the case with Carradine. But I'm sure some of you listening to us remember him from some of the things that I just mentioned. The big, I think, boo of the day or blunder of the day has to go to this one, unfortunately, because I would give high marks to the governor of South Carolina, Mark Sanford, who really stood up to say, look, we don't want your stinking money from the federal government. We don't like what's going to happen with this money because we don't like what's going to happen to the future of our children. But South Carolina's high court has ordered the Republican governor to request $700 million in federal money, which would primarily go to schools over the next couple of years. The state Supreme Court issued the ruling on Thursday, late on Thursday, a day after hearing arguments in this legal fight to reject the idea of the bailout. The anti-bailout governor, of course, wouldn't take the cash, didn't want it, wanted nothing to do with it, and was pretty outspoken about it. Even after state legislators passed a budget requiring him to do that. So the arguments to the Supreme Court there involved lawsuits filed by students in the schools, and Sanford had tried to get those cases merged into federal court with his own lawsuit to block the money, but he lost that fight, obviously, earlier in the week, and he's saying he's not going to appeal it. If he lost, he's going to drop the federal case. So now South Carolina is going to take the money. Do we have any boos from that studio audience? They're asleep. We have got to get them some Shentrition. They'll be alive then. I know I'm alive. I'm bubbling with energy since I've been taking it for the past 4 weeks. Yeah, I think it's a boo because I think it was a good move by the governor. Of course, if somebody in the school system was worried how it was going to cripple them, I guess, you know, they were pushing for that all along. So it was inevitable that it was going to, I believe, come to this. But good for him for standing up and then also saying he wasn't going to fight it after that because he was going to drag it out and keep it going a little bit more. Someone should send a memo to Norm Coleman about that. Minnesota, when will they have a second senator? Sounds like a perhaps a Lifetime movie. If you threw in a little sex and some other intriguing factors, it could be, couldn't it? Still have no senator there, no second senator there. Absolutely crazy. All right, the big news, as I said, really anywhere you turn, whether it's locally or nationally like this show, is going to be the reaction to Obama's speech in the Middle East. And I'll just sum it up again. My feelings are I don't think we're ever going to see peace in the Middle East. And I don't believe that you can take the people and what's happened to them, family after family, what's been handed down, the hard feelings over the years, and turn that around, reverse that as the president of the United States and going to the Middle East. But hey, at least he takes a shot, like others have tried to take the shot. So he takes the shot, goes over there, and we'll see. We'll see if something doesn't get tweaked a little bit. If there was any kind of success, it would be good. It would be considered good. It doesn't hurt for the president to do that. Ultimately, there were some holes in what he said, like Iran not being mentioned at all. Of course, that was on purpose. I think the problem was, in doing the speech, he had to be so careful. He was right there in the middle, and that's the thing that I picked up right away. So being in the middle of a conflict where there's hard feelings on both sides, I don't know how you win that one. Yeah, I don't think so. And this seems like a lose situation to me as well. I don't know why I was stunned when I read this. I shouldn't have been stunned. And I think I pulled this little nugget out of the USA today. But the recession, of course, is really with the historic highs that we're seeing. Now they're saying that one out of every $6 of Americans' income is coming in the form of a federal or state check or voucher. Yeah. So we're talking Social Security, food stamps, unemployment insurance, health care. That accounted for about 16.2% of personal income in the first quarter of 2009. And of course it did, because unemployment is so bloody high, right? You know, that's the highest percentage, though. This was the thing that I think got me. That's the highest percentage since the government began compiling any of those records. You'd have to go back to 1929. Yeah. And we mentioned this on our last show. If you remember, we were talking about how much the government was spending. So in a different area, though, on regulations. In all, the government spending on benefits is going to top $2 trillion. That's an average of $17,000 to each U.S. household. Wow. Yeah, it's not going to get any better anytime soon. How about that deficit? Mm-hmm. All right, you know the drill here. I always say this. You want to give me a recipe for, like, the best pound cake you've ever tasted. I'm just desperate to find one. Send it to me. Or you have thoughts on the Middle East. Hey, how about that? Something more serious. You can shoot it to AmericaTonight.net.